better off. Oh, we're live!
We did it!
Are we live?
I think so.
Tell me if we're live.
Would the Zoom pop-up alerts lie to me?
They would never lie to you.
No, they would never lie, Maggie.
They would never lie to you. I think that we are officially live. I see it on Facebook now. Excellent. Thank you, Brian. I see that Brian confirms that we are live. Okay. Hello, Facebook. Welcome to A Pod of Their Own, episode 69. Nice. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by all my co-hosts. This is the most exciting thing in the entire world. Linda Sarovich, say hi, Linda.
Hey, guys.
Kellyanne Healy, say hi, Kellyanne. Hello, and Maggie everyone. Wiggins' triumphant return to A Pod of Their Own is tonight. Surprise!
Yay!
Hi, Allison. Hi, everyone.
Welcome back.
We missed you so much, Maggie. We're so excited that you're back. This is surprise number one for episode 69. Maggie Wiggin has returned. The prodigal daughter has returned to A Pod of Their Own.
From my westward exploration.
Yeah.
Your westward journey.
Yeah. She's.
I have come back to report there is human life on the other side of the Mississippi River. So.
Seems fake.
Now I'm just picturing like the Oregon Trail.
No one got diphtheria.
Okay, I was going to say no one got dysentery. That's excellent.
Or cholera.
Or broke any legs or arms.
Or COVID, which is the most important thing.
I'm quarantined right now, technically.
So we will, as part of this episode, we will answer any questions that you guys have. So feel free to drop those in the comments. We will answer them throughout. Brian will relay them to us and we will answer them. So if you have any questions that you want us to answer about the off season, all things Mets, feel free to answer them. We'll start off by doing a quick Mets, rundown while we're waiting for people to log on and tune in. But yeah, the news is that there's no news really right now since the last time we recorded a podcast. There's kind of been a lot of walking back of rumors that were previously out there. The Mets are not in on Sugano, apparently, the Japanese pitcher who was posted. I mean, he hasn't signed with a team yet, so we don't know for sure, but...
he only wanted to pitch on the West Coast thing... Okay.
Sure.
And he's also pretty nervous about COVID too, which
that's been part of the reports as well.
I mean, then maybe he should rethink playing in the United States.
He is. I mean, he has an offer with the Yomiuri Giants, which is like a 4-year offer with 3 opt outs. So it's kind of just like it's almost like 4 1-year deals more or less. So he can choose to stay in Japan instead. He is wary of COVID. He has offers on the table from several major league teams. We don't know if the Mets had like made an offer. They were one of the teams that were interested, but then Joel Sherman, I think, was the one that reported that the Mets' interest is, quote, elsewhere. And I'm kind of, I don't know, like, I'm trying to stay patient, but I'm kind of like, where's elsewhere?
Yeah.
Where's elsewhere at this point?
Because elsewhere isn't Odorizzi because they haven't talked to him either. So it's like, where's elsewhere?
Yeah, we just got a report from Andy Martino today that the Mets haven't talked to Odorizzi in like months, apparently, since the initial like rumor that he was talking to the Mets. And we haven't heard anything since then. It's been all crickets. I mean, you know, George Springer rumors keep happening, but it's like nothing's actually done. So it's kind of like the Mets are in an off-season holding pattern.
We did get a hand rumor.
Everybody not the Padres is.
Yes.
So, Brad Hand rumor, and that was it.
Yep. We've got Brad. The Mets are interested in Brad Hand, which would be really good. I mean, like, that would be an excellent signing. Rumor had it that Sandy Alderson wanted to claim Brad Hand when he was on waivers, but it was right smack dab in the middle of the ownership transition. And so it just like didn't happen. He said the timing was bad. So hopefully they sign him as a free agent. It's kind of weird how little interest Hand has gotten. He's an elite closer and yet teams didn't even want to pay him $10 million on waivers, which is like really sad.
Like my man's JD said when he walked off hand, you got hand up there who's one of the best closers. Listen to JD.
Linda's slogan, listen to JD, always
exactly.
Applies.
What would JD do? We
what would JD do?
I mean, this podcast today is very much about what would JD do?
Yes.
Because we have
cookies. Podcasts. This.
Which, speaking of what would JD do, I should get a spoon.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot my spoon too. Oh, man.
Yeah, because as you guys know, we like to eat the cookies in the style of JD Davis, be very authentic on this podcast. So we are doing another
cookie
tasting.
They like to eat the cookies in the authentic manner.
Yeah, I shan't be doing that. I do have milk, but I'm not going to be eating them with a spoon. But we do have cookies for you guys. We got our...
get my spoon.
Yeah, Linda, go get the spoon. We've got our holiday flavors out. Some of us do. We've got... Insomnia Cookies came out with holiday flavors, so we were very excited. We wanted to do another cookie tasting. I've got two of the holiday flavors here, plus one deluxe. So I've got...
New York City sold out of the holiday flavors in a hot minute. So I have... other cookies that I will enjoy.
Right, but I did get this really cool let it snow or let it dough, I'm sorry, koozie.
Let it dough. Oh, that's amazing.
I got Seasons Eating socks.
Nice. I'm supposed to wait. I'm also supposed to have a sleeve in here somewhere. This is what my thing says, because this is the ugly sweater kit. So We'll see what I find buried in the bottom.
I think I just got like the holiday box or something. And if you missed it, the cookies also got me a free love seat. So
in case you guys missed it on the last podcast, Linda got a free couch.
Because I gave the delivery guys an extra box of Insomnia cookies and they made them so happy. They had an extra love seat and just gave
it. Just like, here, take this other lady's couch.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, definitely equal in value. Box of cookies, a couch.
So thank you, Insomnia Cookies, for mistakenly sending me three boxes of cookies.
Oh my God. You should like tag them on social media and be like, you guys got me a couch. I bet they'd send you more free stuff.
They're
going to make you a straight up brand ambassador at this point.
It's like that guy who traded from a paperclip to a house, but much, much more efficient.
Yeah, I did it in one step. I didn't have to go like, cut out the middleman. Nobody needs that.
So how do we want to do this? Do we want to, those of us who have holiday flavors, all eat the same one at the same time? Or do we want to do different flavors?
Maybe we should do different flavors.
Yeah, because Maggie also has different flavors, so we should all do something different each round. Let's do that. Okay. The only holiday flavor I don't have is candy cane. So that's
okay.
Gonna be
I have
to
the
one
candy cane.
So you can do candy cane first. Kellyanne, which one do you want to do first?
I'm gonna do. I think this is peanut butter first.
Peanut butter. Cool. I'll do.
I'm kind of boringish, but.
I'll do this. Hot cinnamon whiskey, I think it's called.
I didn't have that one.
It's very, it smells very much like cinnamon. Like, it smells like, you know, that like big red gum smell.
Oh.
That's what it smells like. All right.
Oh, so this also, you can smell the mint right when you take it out of the bag too.
All right. What order are we going in here? Who's going first?
Before we start, we do have our first question.
Ooh, we have a question. Let's answer that first.
So, from Kevin, it's actually a couple questions. Why do the Mets need Springer? And how about replacing Wheeler because our starting pitching was terrible last year? We have a center fielder.
Whomst is our center fielder?
Well, I mean, okay. So,
Nimmo, I guess?
Is a perfectly... okay center fielder, and like Dom is an okay left fielder, but to put them in the same outfield together is really not great. But if you have Springer, who is an excellent center fielder, then Nimmo becomes an excellent left fielder, and Dom, who I really want to see in the everyday lineup somehow, has many different ways to do that that don't involve playing everyday left field.
Yes.
That to me is like, It's not just about one upgrade with Springer. It's about cascading upgrades.
And also, I forget who I was talking to the other day, but Peterson and Stroman are both contact pitchers. you need defense behind them. It's just Jake basically who strikes out everybody and can get a strikeout when he needs it, but
and Syndergaard when he comes back, yeah, but still. Yeah.
But you know, you need the defense
has hurt the pitching for years.
Yeah, I'm so tired of it, to be honest.
And the Mets have punted on defense for way too long. Never. And it's yeah. And Nimmo, and the thing about Nimmo, and I say this as a person who loves Brandon Nimmo and thinks he's actually quite an underrated Met. He was, and I was very, going into last season and before that, I was very pro playing Nimmo in center field, despite people having, you know, qualms about that. I was like, Nimmo's perfectly fine, but 2020, although small sample size, you know, can screw with everything, but his defensive metrics got significantly worse last year. Like, it got to the point where, like, if he carries that across an entire season, it's, like, almost not playable center field. Like, it's, like, significantly below average, whereas he is an above average left fielder. So like Maggie said, if you shift him to left field, then you have a very good defensive outfield in Springer, Conforto, and Nimmo. And you add depth down the line, because then you have McNeil that can switch into that spot, you have JD Davis that can switch into that spot, and you have Dom Smith that can switch into that spot. And all of those guys will rotate in and out, and it gives the
and
it
there
gives
may still
the
lineup
be a DH. So much depth.
Yes, there may still be a DH.
There may
for better
be
or for worse.
Yeah. Yes.
And the Mets need right-handed hitting. They are yes. so left-handed.
Yeah,
exactly. And that is part of what McCann provides and what Springer can now provide as well. The lineup will be so much more balanced with George Springer in it.
And
so
Springer's a good hitter. It's not like he's just, like,
defensive person.
Good on D. I mean, he's got a over 800 OPS regularly. So, like...
Yeah, Thomas, our friend Thomas on Amazing Avenue, he pointed out that I think for the last 5 years, he's been in the top five. He's been a top five outfielder by WRC plus, like only behind like Trout, Bellinger, Yelich, and
those are some
Harper.
Those are some reasonable names to be behind.
Yeah,
for sure.
So to be included in that group is pretty good, I would say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And with regard to the second part of the question, because, like, how about replacing Wheeler?
They didn't last year, that's
for
sure.
Yeah, they didn't last year, and my answer to that question is kind of just, like, why not both? They really need to sign Springer and replace Wheeler, more or less. They need
I don't think there's an option at that point.
Yeah, which is why I am... disappointed by, and obviously anything can happen, a lot of offseason left, but it's why I'm disappointed about them not pursuing Sugano, and by them, you know, staying silent or like not recontacting Odorizzi or not being aggressive on Odorizzi, because that's, we do really need one from like that tier, because there is kind of a tier below, and I think they should also pursue a pitcher from that tier, like the Quintana, Taijuan Walker, you know, like that.
But they
sort of
did.
Tier.
They didn't send scouts to Paxton and Kluber's like throwing session, or
which
something.
Is good, so, and they should do that. And they should pursue one or two of pitchers from that tier. But they really do need like a third starter. Which is
what Sugano was projected to be.
Projected, and what Odorizzi would be if he replicated his 2019, not his 2020 where he was hurt, but his 2019, that he would be a solid 2-3, which is what they need. So, like, the answer really is they, like, both. They need Springer, and they need a good mid-rotation starter for me to feel okay.
It's also just kind of frustrating because Porter in his introductory press conference was like, we want pitching depth, like real pitching depth, not like imaginary pitching depth. And now like every pitcher that's on the market, they're not in on. It's like, but you just said a month ago you were going to be. So it's just, there's some kind of disconnect there. But like you said, the offseason's like nobody's doing anything. So maybe we'll be surprised.
It's a slow offseason because like, labor relations are not the best to begin with, and then COVID exacerbated everything. So we always knew that this offseason was going to move slowly. But I mean, if the Mets are able to pull off a Springer signing, pull off a Hand signing, and then sign two pitchers, wrap her up and call her an offseason, is my opinion. That's great. But they need to do these things. Okay. Cookie time.
Sorry, I'm being attacked by my cat.
Oh, I'm just going to say something.
Oh, no, Kellyanne, you go.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait. Okay, post-cookie. Okay, that's post-cookie. No, we see so many teams shedding payroll right now, so I think that's partly why we have such a quiet signing period, free agent signing period, so to speak, and that's, I think, another thing that needs to be discussed maybe later on. So,
and there's still the potential that the Mets could address these needs via trade, although that's a lower possibility because they don't have many chips to trade in the first place. But
spending money is the new market inefficiency.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Steve Cohen has a lot of it, so
yeah,
get going. All right, cookie number one. Who wants to go first for cookie number one?
I have my cookie out. I'll do my cookie.
Do it.
While I'm being attacked by Miss Maddie guys. Have you seen me like get shoved to the side? It's because
of her. Maddie going to make her podcast debut.
She probably will. I mean, she's right here. All right. So I got my Mets mug. I'm very sorry, JD. I don't have 2% milk, and he was very specific about that. And so I feel like I'm letting my man's down a little bit.
1% milk.
It's really only half the JD special.
I know.
It's the 50% JD Davis.
I know. But 50% JD Davis is still like, whoa, that's a lot. Sorry, JD. All right. So I'm also going to, you know, dip it into the milk and use the JD spoon. So this is the, I think it's candy cane. I'm not sure if it's like white chocolate candy cane. Mm-hmm. I think there's like something chocolatey in there. And there goes the
Maddie!
Hello, my vino gato.
Like, I heard there was milk.
Yeah, there's milk. You can't expect the cat to not want some.
That's very true. This is my own fault. All right, I definitely taste the peppermint. I don't think it's pure candy cane. I think it's like peppermint extract.
Okay.
The uncut stuff just makes me think of like taking a razor blade or a credit card and like chopping up that candy cane and be like, that's the good stuff.
Yeah.
Pure candy cane.
I didn't get the candy cane one because I don't like peppermint.
I mean, it's good. I'm not complaining.
It's your, but it's not pure, is what you're saying.
But with like peppermint extract, like nothing special. But around the holidays, if you're craving peppermint,
reasonable,
it'll hit the spot.
Reasonable. All right. Do we want to follow with a non-holiday flavor, and then we can alternate? So I think, yeah, Kellyanne, you have peanut butter. Or you want to do that one?
Should I warm it up first? Is the question? Nah. I'll do the next one warm up. Okay.
You can do, this is very scientific. You can do a non-warmed up and a warmed up one.
Non-warmed up one. Do I? Okay, so the JD method is just kind of like throwing it in.
Plop it in the milk and then you eat it with a spoon.
Plop in the milk. Here we go. Have my spoon. Ah! Okay.
I want to say it's ingenious, okay? Don't judge the JD method.
I mean, it's cereal.
Yeah, it's cereal milk, more or less.
I like cereal.
Yeah.
Not getting the, I mean, I'm getting the peanut butter, but I've had stronger peanut butter cookies. Maybe if I warm this up.
Yeah. Because it's peanut butter chip. So, like, it's the chips that are peanut butter, but maybe not the cookie? I don't know.
The cookie is peanut butter. I was the official peanut butter taste tester of our previous podcast.
That's right.
I wonder if it also might be diluted by the milk, and I promise this is not my anti-milk bias.
Well,
this is no, objectively, that's probably true.
It's just a hypothesis.
That's fair enough.
I'm testing.
It's fair. It's a fair hypothesis.
A Park police unit.
Police say several young men got into a fight. My brother was stabbed, and Park police were called in.
In the late 70s, tensions between Houston police and the Mexican American community exploded. The result was a daring experiment for five young Latino police officers. They were tasked with solving Houston's toughest crimes in rebuilding trust, all while being torn between the neighborhoods that raised them and the badges they wore. My name is Cristela Alonso, and this is the story of the Chicano Squad. Subscribe to Chicano Squad from the Vox Media Podcast Network on Spotify or wherever you listen.
See, I've had I mean, I taste the peanut butter, but it's not that strong to me. But then again, like, I've made and I've had, like, super peanut buttery cookies, so.
Sometimes subtlety is good. Other times it's not. Depends on context. I guess I'll go next because I feel like this is a very stark contrast because I can already kind of tell based on the smell that's taking over everything that this is not going to be a subtle cookie. It's hard it's hard to tell, but these sprinkles are, like, in real life, they're, like, fluorescent pink.
What?
And it smells... This is, like, the hot cinnamon whiskey, and it smells like... It smells like a shot of Fireball. Like, straight up, that's what it smells like. And I'm going to try this. Like, I don't know... Like, I love snickerdoodles and, like, cinnamon cookies, but I don't know how I'm gonna feel about, like, hot cinnamon flavor. We'll see.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing the dip and eat. I'm not doing the J.D. Davis. Sorry, I don't have a spoon right now, and I just... I'm doing the dip and eat.
There it is.
It takes a minute. It hits you really hard. It really is like a shot of Fireball. It is like I just ingested a shot of Fireball. It doesn't burn like a shot would. But, like, it takes a minute. Like, like you chew and you're like, and then those sprinkles start to dissolve and you're like, ooh, baby.
I mean, it's like my ongoing chili mango obsession where people will be like, oh, take a little bite, and they'll be like, oh yeah, let me have some more. I'm like, wait. Okay, now have more.
This is one where I would prefer it to be a little less. Like, the subtlety when it first hits your mouth is quite pleasant. But then when it, like, turns up its, like, hot cinnamon aspect, I'm like, all right. I mean, hot cinnamon flavor is also, like, not my super favorite. I mean, like, I'm fine with it, but, like, I'm not going to turn to Fireball first in my alcohol choices. We'll just put it that way. But, no, it's
could
not
you
bad.
Eat the whole cookie?
Am I going to eat? I'm going to eat this whole cookie.
Yeah, yes. Could you eat the whole cookie?
Yes,
yeah.
I could. And I will.
Okay. That's a pretty good, like... test.
It's actually kind of nice that it's accompanied with the milk because I actually do feel like that tempers it slightly.
You could probably also, like, if the physical cinnamon sugar crystals are the primary source, you could probably
brush some off. And
yeah,
then
you could sort of just, like, ratchet it down.
Because I think it is these sprinkles. I mean, I'm sure that there's also, like, cinnamon, like, baked into this cookie. But the, like, it's because the sprinkles have that, like, fake cinnamon taste, whereas I feel like the cookie kind of just more has the, like, general, like, cinnamony, like, maybe gingery flavor to it. But it's the sprinkles. Anyway, Maggie, what's your Maggie has the deluxe cookies, folks.
Yes. I'm not going to eat the whole cookie because I will die. Yeah, I have eaten a whole deluxe cookie before, and I will again, but it wasn't, like, my best time ever, so, like, there is the size of, like,
oh, wow,
essentially my hand. Now, granted, I have, like, very tiny hands, but so this is a salted caramel flavor.
It is.
You can see, like, the big old chunks of caramel right in there.
Yeah, that's goodness right there.
I'm going to, like... Just because I love the sound of, like, a fresh cookie, like, just breaking in half is a pretty great one.
Still warm?
It's not still warm.
Okay.
But I picked it up, like, 3 hours ago, so I'm not going to bother. It's really good. It's salted. It's caramel. And it's, like, I think, like, the cookies flavor caramel. And, like, there are these chunks of salted caramel throughout it. It's really good.
Salted caramel is among my favorite.
Yeah,
it was like out of 10.
I would have an instant headache if I finished the whole thing. As it is, like, I will be quite fine on the amount that I will have consumed. It is rich, but it's good.
Well, we didn't give our cookies ratings, so, like, what out of 10 would you give it?
Ooh.
Man. I'd probably give it, I don't know, I can't think of much to ding it on. I would probably give it a 9.
Oh, wow.
Heck yeah.
I mean, it really just is so, it's like so heavy and so sweet to knock it down from a 10. I don't know how, you know, nothing.
I think salted caramel is the clear winner of the first round. I think I would give this cinnamon one maybe like a 5.5.
Okay. I was going to give mine like a 6.5, so we were kind of on.
How about you, Kellyanne?
I'm going to give mine a 7.5. I'll be nice. Because it is a good peanut butter cookie, just not the best I've had.
Fair. Sounds good. It's fair.
Whereas, like, this might, in fact, I'm pretty confident it is the best salted caramel cookie I've had.
Oh.
I've had good ones, but, like, this really sort of gets it all together.
That's high praise.
That is.
My favorite, like, small, just little treat yourself moment when I want like something sweet is like those Ghirardelli caramel squares. Those are like my favorite things.
Oh, I have the salted caramel of those right now.
Yes.
It was in my stocking at Christmas.
Yes. All right. So we have another question that we will answer in between cookie rounds now. We have it from David. Have you noticed how the Yankees have been quiet? I guess Hank doesn't want to spend any money on big name free agents. It is nice to be like the New York team that's like is like more talked about in the free agent market.
Well, I find it very promising that they haven't already re-signed Tanaka, because I kind of just assumed that that would be a really like slam dunk, easy resolution for both of them, but
and not expensive, they can do it early.
And I think Tanaka's a really good fit for the Mets too, so like every day that the Yankees don't re-sign Tanaka, I'm like,
it's an opportunity for the Mets,
guys. Keep doing nothing.
And the fact that they haven't yet retained DJ LeMahieu is like
Yeah, the last report I heard was they were like far apart, so
by like a lot too,
by a lot. And that the Dodgers were now interested, because the Dodgers aren't interested in everybody.
And I think it was, I can't remember, this was like before this rumor, but I only know this because I wrote up the article for the Morning News Post the next day. But I can't remember, it was a post writer, I think it might have been Joel Sherman, wrote an article about like basically just like keep an eye on the Dodgers, because they're just going to sweep in and take everybody that the teams who really want said free agent don't get. So, like, and he specifically mentioned, like, the Yankees and DJ LeMahieu. Like, if you don't act, the Dodgers will act. And that's exactly what's happening now. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, so the Yankees could still easily jump in and re-sign him if they want. But, like, the fact that they haven't immediately retained Tanaka, and also, like, DJ LeMahieu is an extremely popular player in New York, and the Yankees and him are very far apart in negotiations. Like, yikes.
I think it
not
goes
our
back
problem.
To couldn't be me.
It goes back to the team shedding payroll again. And obviously the Dodgers are like filthy rich, but it's also nice to hear that the Mets are not doing that. Where in the past they would have, for sure. But I think that's one nice change thus far. I mean, we're still very, very in the honeymoon phase of this, but the fact that we're not in the midst of money problems, so to speak, is already speaking volumes.
Yeah. So, and you know what's driving their fans crazy, too.
Get in on Tanaka, get in on LeMahieu.
Yeah, anything that makes Yankee fans mad is good for me.
I'm all for.
Come to the dark side. We have cookies.
We're not the dark side. They're the dark side.
No, that's true.
They're the evil empire. We're the cookie empire.
We're like the Baby Yoda empire.
Baby Yoda loves cookies.
Yes, he does. See? We're Baby Yoda. He loves his macaroons.
I think I'm going to have to get one of my Baby Yodas, one of them, from upstairs. I'll be right back.
Oh, we can answer another question while she gets Baby Yoda.
And this is really, I mean, we can all answer it, but this is really a Linda question, I feel
No.
Okay. Our next question is, who would you trade JD for?
No!
Which I feel like is extremely, like, Alinda.
Rude.
But it's also
Linda,
kind of my fault.
You don't have to answer.
But it's also my fault, though, because I wrote an article saying trade him for Arenado. So I think Arenado would be the one that I would definitely trade for. Just because it's Nolan Arenado, like, he's the best third baseman of his generation. So I don't know how you could turn that down if it's just JD, even if it hurts me.
But Nolan Arenado's also very fun.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of my favorite non-Mets. So I think that would be the best possible outcome. But that's the only person I would trade JD for, to be clear.
Fair.
That's fair. I think my answer on that changes depending on whether we sign George Springer or not.
Yeah, that makes a big difference too.
Because if we don't, then JD Davis is a much more integral part of the team than if we do sign Springer. So if we do sign Springer, then he becomes more expendable, so to speak, and easier to swallow a trade, for sure. But because then we have a lot of like corner type guys on our team at that point. But
what if we made the whole team out of corner outfielders?
The Mets are trying real hard.
They are. Or DHs.
That could be like the subtitle of the like 2000 to 2020 Mets.
I also think like the whole like Springer plus corner guys, like I also think that whole equation is changed by a Michael Conforto extension versus not doing that. Because if Michael Conforto is going to walk, God forbid, then you need those other corner guys that we already have on the team to step in there. And you need Springer to be on the team in the future then, because otherwise you have, like, no big outfield bats to speak of. So I think that that also changes the equation about, like, whether you see J.D. Davis as a huge part of the team's future or not. Are you extending
that? I do.
I mean, he's like a true Mets. Not that nobody who doesn't want him isn't a true Mets fan, but like if you're invested in the team's future, you want Michael Conforto to stay on this team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. He's talented. He's fun. He's just great.
And he really grew into his leadership role last year too.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, for sure.
If all of this is very quiet in the free agent market because they are going whole hog on a Conforto extension, I take back all of my mild grousing about how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
Let's eat more cookies.
Yes. Let's eat more cookies.
Cookie round.
This is my last bite of my previous cookies.
I am warming my cookie up this time, so I will go do that. Let me mute myself so I don't make.
All right,
okay, we had Linda, you're up.
Okay, we had a slight accident. I was on the couch the other day, and I heard a crash, and it turns out somehow the cookies ended up on the floor in the box. And so this cookie got completely, like, demolished. I don't know if you can see how crumbly it is. So this is the spicy hot cocoa cookie.
Oh, nice.
One of my favorite just things.
Yeah, but it's already in pieces. So,
my mom has made a spicy hot cocoa cookie in the past, but his.
And I think it came with a marshmallow too. Yeah, we got a little marshmallow. We got the cookie pieces. Looks like there's chocolate chunks in it. So yeah, it looks like it could be a good choice. Let's see. Definitely smells chocolatey. Let's see. Definitely chocolatey.
Any of that chili heat?
Oh, there it is. It kicks in afterwards. It's not like overly spicy. It's just like that like tickle at the back of your throat. It's a good chocolate cookie with that like just like a little bit of heat. It doesn't like it's not like spicy, but yeah, no. I think this is very good. I'm pleasantly surprised by it.
Well, there you go. Telling you, Mexican hot chocolate is just the best thing.
Oh, I should try the marshmallow. I didn't try the marshmallow.
For science.
Just the marshmallow. And with the chocolate, you know, it's like a s'more.
Mm.
It's very good. I would give this Bad Boy Bell an 8 out of 10. Again,
let's say, what does pop? Yeah, we're back. God,
oh, we're back. Good.
Okay, so just like, forget those outtakes.
Sorry, everybody. This is what happens when you go live. Sometimes the technology does not cooperate.
We'll just pretend that didn't happen.
We've had excessively good technology luck in our run, and we should probably.
It's true. Well, my podcast continues to be a challenge and everything. So, you know, just having a bad run. It's okay. But
we're all feeling it after the holidays. That's all it is.
Yeah, we're not in the best shape of our lives. It's fine. It's the off season.
A quick Kellyanne before her
cookie gets cold.
Yeah, before your cookie gets cold, you should go.
I don't know if you can microwave a cookie in her.
Baby Yoda!
It's Baby Yoda!
He closes his eyes. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I love this Baby Yoda.
So you have the M&M's. Is that what you have there?
I do.
Oh, that's a classic.
Okay. This one I warmed up in the microwave. Let's see. I'm going to try it without milk first.
Podcast Dad is yelling about Baby Yoda's name.
Yeah, Podcast Dad is telling us that his name is Grogu. I know, but his name is Baby Yoda.
No, he's Baby Yoda, okay?
There's no space in my brain.
No spoilers.
For another child's name.
Oh, yeah, Kellyanne hasn't watched The Mandalorian, but yet she still has a Baby Yoda.
A Baby Yoda.
I also have not seen Mandalorian. Baby Yoda.
Wait, 1, 2. I have a lot of Baby Yodas. I have at least 5 in various formats.
You have the Funko, don't you?
What?
You have the Funko, don't you?
No.
No?
The Funko I do not have.
No.
No one get it for me. Linda.
Then okay. You should be rectified.
Oh my God. Add to the collection of Baby Yodas. But anyway. Oh wait, I have the big Funko. You're right.
Yes, you do have the big Funko.
Okay. But anyway, first we'll get back to that. First cookie. It tastes for some reason a little s'moresy. Which is a good thing. I like s'mores. Let's try it in the milk. Let's see.
Is it good warm?
Allison, did you have yours warm when you did the M&M cookies last time?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. It's okay. Warm. I think the problem with mine is that I got mine last week and they've kind of been sitting for a little bit. Mm. So they're not as fresh as they could be.
Because the M&M's was one of my favorites.
It's good.
I ordered it in this box that I got because it was one of my faves from last time. I'm not going to be eating my that one today, too. But
I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
And in case you guys missed it, Linda, what was your rating of the Mexican hot chocolate one or the spicy hot cocoa one?
8 out of 10.
It's
a very good chocolate cookie with just like a little bit of heat in the back. Plus then you get the toasted marshmallow, so.
Because I think that was when we were experiencing our technical difficulties and people may have missed that. So I just want to make sure.
Oh, and if you missed it, I would only trade JD for Nolan Arenado. Just
yes, in case that isn't clear. Oh,
my God, it sunk down to the bottom.
Oh, no. So
that's what you need the spoon for.
Since Kellyanne said hers was s'moresy, that is actually a very good transition to mine because I got one deluxe cookie. So I did mine curbside pickup and they have this like option when you don't order online to have it like shipped to you and you go to the store to pick it up, there's this box called Super Six where you basically get 6 cookies and 5 of them are regular and then you can pick one deluxe one. So the one deluxe one I picked was s'mores. So that is my next one. I'm not gonna be eating this whole cookie since I'm gonna be eating 2 regular sized cookies.
But wants the cookie.
Yeah, he clearly wants it.
Warn our listeners that once you start with the deluxe cookies, it's really hard to go
to back. Go back.
Really?
Yeah.
And I am not warming mine up for this because I got mine curbside pickup like an hour ago. So these are like fresh. And they're not quite warm still, but they're like, I can tell that they're fresh. So I have not been warming mine up. But so I'm going to split this giant cookie in half and eat roughly half of it. I'll give the other half to Michael after this. He'll be happy. S'mores. Oh, that was a pretty good split that I did. So you can see, So you can see, like, it's really hard to tell on the Zoom, but you can see the inside has, marshmallow and those little, and this is, like, a graham cracker situation.
Very nice.
So their marshmallow bits are, like, the little white bits, and then the there's graham cracker bits in here as well, and also, like, big chocolate chunks, and the cookie itself is chocolate. So here we go. We're gonna dunk this in. Oh, the marshmallow, like, pulls as you break it. Oh, yes, I'm so excited about this. That's I love
fantastic. S'mores.
This is really good.
Yay.
This is really good.
How could it not be? It sounds amazing.
The balance of all the different things is proportioned perfectly. You get all the flavors. Because the chocolate definitely hits you first because the cookie is chocolate. But then you get I feel like you get the hit of like marshmallow flavor, and then the graham cracker comes in at the end. It's really fabulous cookie. This is really good. This gets a 9.
Ooh,
nice.
I've never had a cookie quite like this. Like, I've had s'mores. I don't think I've ever had a s'mores cookie like this. Like, I've had s'mores like cookie bars. Like, you know, the like almost like cookie brownie hybrid style cookie bars. I've had s'mores bars like that, and they're really good because they have like the graham cracker bottom or whatever. But I've never had like a chocolate cookie that has like bits baked in throughout. And I feel like that makes for a really good balance of flavors. And so I really like it. So yeah, this is delicious.
I have to say, their chocolate cookies are very, very good.
Yeah. Would highly
you
recommend.
You can't go wrong with any of their chocolate.
I think this is reinforcing Maggie's idea that once you go deluxe, you never go back, because so far the 2 deluxe cookies have the highest rating.
They do. That's not fair.
Well, I will add another one to the list. The other one I have here is the peanut butter cup.
Which has giant chunks.
Whoa.
Enormous chunks. Now, I don't know if y'all remember, my only beef with the peanut butter cookie last time around was that it didn't have any chocolate in it. Well, this seems to have resolved that concern. Now, peanut butter cups are like my favorite thing in the world. I will like hoard the seasonal ones because I feel like the ratio is more desirable. But so I have strong feelings is what I'm coming around to saying about peanut butter cups. My one concern is this looks like it may have been a little overbaked. There's a little burning just on the top of the peanut butter cup. But... Mm. It was really good. I feel like the there could be more chocolate just because it's a peanut butter cookie with peanut butter chips and then also the peanut butter cups that like a little more chocolate balance in there would be good, but it's really nice. I like it a lot. The cookie is really, really moist.
Is it burnt?
Just a tiny bit.
Okay.
It might have even come like from the heater or something, because it's not like overbaked throughout, but just the very top of that. It might also be just like the bit of the peanut butter cup that sticks out. It like cooks faster than the dough because the higher sugar content, but in any case, very small quibble.
Now, what are your thoughts on like the Christmas tree shaped peanut butter cups and like the pumpkin peanut butter cups?
Christmas tree is the third best.
Okay.
pumpkin second best, and the Easter egg's
objectively the best,
absolute like top of the line. It does not get better than the year that I was due with Ellie right around Easter time. It was an early Easter that year. And so 5 days before she was born, I ate 6 Reese's eggs? Six probably seems right. It was a lot. It was great. I loved eating like a crazy person when I was pregnant. Oh, I did it all the time. Highly recommend.
You might as well. What else can you do it?
Right. So yeah, there's a lot of peanut butter chips in here, and I sort of feel like in a chocolate peanut butter cup cookie, there are going to be peanut butter chips, they should throw in some chocolate as well.
Or, I agree. They should have chocolate and peanut butter chips.
Oh. And put in an equal proportion, you know, an equal proportion by weight of peanut butter cups. So I'll give this like an 8.5. It's really good.
Yeah.
We're talking like, you know, hundredths of a point difference.
Yeah, these are marginal.
Now, do you like that better than the salted caramel?
In some ways, yes, because like this is all of my very favorite things in a cookie.
Okay.
But in some ways, no, because I feel like the salted caramel cookie is just like the quintessential salted caramel, and where this has a little room for improvement in chocolate peanut butter.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
So like the salted caramel is just like as a cookie, like objectively.
This last bite was really good though, so I'm gonna keep it the 8.5. I think that's the, as big a margin as I can come up with. So
you're sticking with the 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan has some feelings on your Reese's takes, Maggie. OG Reese's or GTFO. We'll keep this broadcast PG-13, guys.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's about the like ratio to chocolate to inside filling. And the egg is the ideal ratio. That's why I agree with that.
And it's because it's not perfectly, you know, I feel like if it was a like hemisphere, that would be truly optimal, but it's close enough that you don't get any bites that are disappointingly off.
Mm,
like
yeah.
They're all roughly the same ratio throughout.
That's a good point.
I eat a lot of seasonal Reese's, you guys. I still have a bag of the trees in my bedside table right now.
Oh, jeez.
Whenever I found ones lying around that the kids forgot about from their stocking, I just stuck it back in the bag.
You're just like, and that's for me, and that's nope, for me.
For mine now.
That's for me.
That's a stupidity tax, kids. Eat your damn candy.
The lesson they gotta learn.
Ooh, we have a question.
Yes!
Oh, it's about the pronunciation. Do you guys pronounce it Reese's or Reese's? So it's Reese's.
I say Reese's.
I assume if someone had, like, a mild brain injury, they might say Reese's, but, you know.
I went to college with a bunch of people that said Reese's, and the first time I heard it, I was like, what? The heck is wrong with you?
What is that?
Is it a regional thing?
It is, yeah, yes.
It's a regional
what
thing.
Region?
Like, yeah. Like Delaware Valley. Like,
oh.
Philadelphia, Delaware.
Oh, you know what? I've never heard a Philadelphian say Reese's, but...
No, I've cousins from Philly. They don't say it.
I can imagine Reese's coming.
Everyone I knew from UD who were from Delaware say Reese's because they say it like Reese's Pieces because it rhymes. And I'm like, you sound really stupid. I'm sorry.
Neither of those.
Reese's Pieces rhymes too.
Exactly. They say them Reese's Pieces. And I'm like, you changed both things.
Yeah. Also, that rhymes.
No need.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's like a Pennsylvania thing, I thought.
That's weird.
But whatever. Yeah, I went to college.
We live in Pennsylvania, so.
Yeah.
Dialect is what it is.
Yeah, weird dialect stuff. It's Reese's because it is a possessive. it's the candy that belongs to Reese, named after Reese, so it's Reese's.
Reese's.
If something belongs to me, I don't call it Allison Knees.
But maybe we should.
Fair.
There's no loose rules.
Fair.
Oh, man, I made such a mess.
I'm, like, cutting myself off and eating, like, at most half a cookie now because I, like, feel it in my stomach. I'm like, okay.
I know. No, I'm starting to feel it, too, one. And I still have one more left, and I'm kind of like,
I do not have one more left, and that's good because I also, the kids ate half of their cupcakes at dessert tonight. So I ate the other half.
Oh.
So I'm basically like double fisting cupcakes and cookies tonight. But
oh my goodness gracious.
What else was I going to do? Throw out a half a cupcake?
No.
Heck no.
You can't do that to a cupcake. Perfectly good cupcake.
I mean, technically I have 6 cookies, but I'm only featuring 3 of them because the other 3 are flavors we tasted on the first pod. I just decided, I was like, I'll round this out. Eric says that I can have a candy called Allison's Palisons, which sounds good. Like, let's draw it up. You and me, Eric, let's draw it up.
Would it be like Allison's?
Allison's. I have no idea. I'm trying to think of, like, if, like, this is a fun thought exercise. Like, if you could, like, have a candy that's named after you, like, if you could invent a candy, what would it be?
I have one already, technically. Jelly, Kelly's Jelly Bellies.
Kelly's Jelly Bellies.
There you go.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think, like, what Allison's Palisons would taste like.
I think I'd have to have nuts. I feel like there would be nuts in there. I don't know why. I'm feeling nuts.
I mean, for yours or for mine?
No, for yours.
For mine? I actually don't like nuts in my baked goods. I'm a weirdo. I don't like nuts in my baked goods. Although I am certifiably nuts. So that makes total sense. And I do like nuts. I like them on their own. I don't like them in chocolate or in brownies or in cookies all that much. I'm trying to think. I really enjoy, like, what are some of my favorite candies? I mean, I feel like there's, like, two, like, it's hard to compare chocolate to non-chocolate candies. Like, I have trouble, like, ranking them against each other. Like, I can rank my favorite chocolate-based candies, and I can rank my favorite not-chocolates. Like, my favorite chocolates are easily Milky Way and Three Musketeers are my two favorite.
Oh, Milky Way is the best.
I've had this conversation before where I think you're wrong, but I still like you as a person.
I mean, I don't get me wrong, Maggie, I'm not a Reese's hater at all. I love chocolate peanut butter, but caramel's the goat for me, chocolate caramel, which is why that salted caramel cookie, like, if I could go back for one of these Insomnia cookies, I think it would be that one, because, like, I'm all about, like, chocolate caramel.
You should do it soon.
Yes. I'm all about, like, chocolate caramel everything, so, like, salted caramel, chocolate caramel, that's the good stuff. So Milky Ways are my favorite, and especially with the nougat too. Hell yeah, love that stuff. And that's why I love Milky Ways, but I don't love Snickers because it's a texture difference. The Milky Way is really smooth, and the Snickers is all bumpy and weird, with the nuts in there. So Milky Ways are my favorite chocolate. My favorite not chocolate is like any sort of sour candy, like Sour Patch Kids. One of the only rifts in Michael and Maya's relationship because he hates Sour Patch Kids and I love them. And
the ones that he gets in his trick or treat bag. I don't.
Yeah, whatever. But it's like a constant, like, Sour Patch Kids are so gross, and I'm like, hey, bro, like, what? They're so good. I don't understand you at all.
No, they're so good.
Yeah.
Especially the new blue ones, the blue raspberry. Oh.
And Brian says that he's workshopping Sal's Pals, my line of mini pie snacks, which that sounds like a great idea, Brian.
It does. I feel like they make tasty candy.
Waggies, which would have to be dog treats.
Ooh, that would be fun. Yes.
That would be.
Maggie's Waggies, dog treats. Yeah, I feel like, I think Allison's Palisons would be, like, I think they would be, like, mini clusters that are, like, salted caramel, but all, like, some sort of, like, pretzel chocolate salted caramel, like, little cluster thingies. Like, you know those, like, that you get in, like, when you get a bunch of, like, truffles from the fancy chocolate store, and one of them's, like, the clusters that have, like, pretzel, caramel, chocolate.
Don't they call that like a turtle or something?
Oh yeah, like the turtle.
No, not a turtle. Turtle is nuts.
Oh yeah, turtle has
so
nuts.
I'm trying
in
to protect
it.
You.
I thought it was a pretzel.
Thank you. I don't want. Yeah, no, the turtle I think has everything that I mentioned, but also nuts. But I don't want nuts in there. So it would be some sort of cluster that had like pretzels and caramel and chocolate because of the whole like salted caramel aspect. That would be the good stuff.
So the other reason I can't have another cookie is that I've completely finished this liter of seltzer.
Wait, so Linda, what would yours be?
I don't know. What rhymes with Linda? Linda. Oh, no, I can go Lynn.
Lynn's.
Lynn's tins.
Tins
with lovely
grins.
Lynn's grins. And they could be like crescent shaped cookies or something.
Yeah, why not?
Smiles.
That would be cute.
What flavor would they be?
And then mine would have to have coconut.
Lynn's twins, a Kit Kat style, is what Brian says, which I also like.
Okay.
Yeah, like it would be like a, it would be like two things, like the Kit Kat or like right and left Twix.
Right and left Lynn.
Lynn's twins. So maybe you could, I mean, you could do the Lynn's grinning twins. You could have like two crescent shaped things together in like a Cheshire Cat smile. That's somehow made of coconut.
Yeah, yeah, it just has to have coconut. I don't care about anything else.
Oh, do you? That means you must like the like Samoa's Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, the Samoa's are so good. Those are
Caramel,
the goat Girl
also,
Scout.
Your favorite.
I'm not a big coconut fan, but actually I make an exception for those cookies in particular. Oh, they're so because good. They're very good. But I don't
the
like
caramel.
Like, the like there are a lot of like coconut that comes in like those cookie bars with the shaved coconut. I don't like that because it's a texture thing. It's less of a taste thing. It's more of a
I do not like Dunkin' Donuts Samoa flavored coffee though. It is way too sweet. And as someone who likes sweet, if I'm telling you it's sweet, avoid it all costs.
Any of our non-regular flavors are and I love Dunkin'. I do.
Yeah. Their butter pecan was really good and then they took it away from me and I was sad.
I am not a coffee drinker, so I'm not familiar with all the various coffee flavors.
I take
the struggle is real.
Very rare delves into fancy coffees, but I'm just on a 2-year mourning period as the gingerbread latte era ended at Starbucks. I still have not come to terms with that. and I don't think I'm ready to start dating again.
That's fair.
I do know that Michael enjoys, he buys the cinnamon bun flavor of Dunkin' coffee. He likes that. It's not like he buys the ground, like the cinnamon bun ground coffee. Like
okay.
The coffee is flavored. It's not like a cinnamon bun latte at the coffee shop. It's like he buys the ground coffee and it's cinnamon bun flavored.
I was gonna say, does DC have something I don't?
No, I mean it might, but not this. anyway. I guess we can do final cookie rounds now. Maggie doesn't have any more, but each of the rest of us have more.
I have peanut butter here, but I can get the sugar cookie because I have the sugar cookie. Or I can have one of my mom's cookies.
I vote for mom's cookies.
Mom's cookies.
Okay, I'll go get mom's cookies.
I was going to say we should weigh them up against Insomnia cookies. Who wins? Insomnia or Linda's mom?
I could go get my mom's cookies.
Yeah. Well, they were technically baked by my aunt, but they are my grandma's Christmas cookie recipes that the tradition is now being carried on by the next generation since my grandma has passed away. But my aunt sent, because she was like, well, we can't be together on Christmas, so I'll ship you cookies. So she shipped me cookies that were made with my grandma's recipes, but those are all gone.
My mom is like has been like a semi-professional baker in her life, and she used to fund our entire family Christmas gift bonanzas all off of baking cookies to sell to people like in her office and church.
Wow.
And people. So she
what was her specialty?
What's that?
What was her specialty?
I mean, she just would do a little bit of everything, but she's always done really good, like we call them butterballs, but a lot of people call them like Mexican wedding cookies.
Oh,
like,
okay.
And she does like, I don't know, she does like pecan candies, and she does these brownies with York peppermint patties layered in the middle.
Wow.
So it's this really like bright pepperminty flavor. Yeah, she does a million. When I was like 11 years old, she did a 4-tiered wedding cake for a coworker, and I just thought she was an absolute like hero. It was like the greatest thing I had ever seen anybody make. And I felt really good finding out decades later that she was scared shitless the whole time she was making and delivering that thing.
Oh.
And she just like lived those 2 weeks in a like state of terror. And I was like, oh my God, I am like my mom.
The anxiety
anyway.
Is real.
Side note, I just wanted to brag about my mom.
Oh, yeah.
She also sent us a bunch of cookies when we were in quarantine, so.
She should go on Great American Baking Show.
Yeah. Or, like, one of the baking championships or, you know, like, the holiday baking championship or.
Yeah. She'd be like, I don't have time for that.
Fair. Yeah. All right. I feel like this is actually a pretty good one to get because it's a crescent.
Oh my God.
It's a Lindgren.
It's the Lindgrens. Those were part of my, I think it's the same cookie that I had in my cookie assortment from my aunt. It's like the, you know, the powdered sugar.
Yes.
Crescents. Yeah.
Yes. I had those also. Those are my mom calls them the Viennese crescent cookies.
Sure.
I don't know why.
I believe that.
I mean, we are German, so it makes sense. And so she got the recipe from her grandmother, so it makes sense. But yeah, there's powdered sugar everywhere, but that only makes it better. Sorry, Allison, it does have walnuts.
Yeah, they usually have nuts. I think mine had almonds, actually.
Okay.
Be better with, like, ground nuts in, like, as part of a,
yes,
a like, base that's, for a cookie.
Yeah, like, yes. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, like I think that's what mine was, actually. I think it was, like, the ground almonds were, like, part of the flour
that made up
the dry ingredients. So, like, that's fine. It's a texture issue. I don't like the lumpiness that nuts add.
But I don't know if you can see, but, like, it's got the two-tone, the nice, like, brown on the bottom.
Ooh, yeah. And it's got to make, I learned from Great British Baking Show, that it's got to make the right snap.
Yeah, it's got a good snap to it. I got a whole box filled from my mom. So between this and insomnia cookies, I've been, you know what? I give mama a 10.
Yeah. Lindsay's mom gets a 10. Of course she does.
Wow. Yeah. They're baked with love. So that makes a difference instead of just like a corporate.
My last one is the spicy hot cocoa that Linda already had, so I can give my assessment of it. I am scared of the word spicy because I am generally not a fan.
See, I didn't mind it though. I thought it was just a little heat. I didn't find it spicy.
I'm a big baby. Like when I go to restaurants, I'm like, no, you don't understand. Mild. I am the whitest person in the world. Please make it that way. Thank you. Yeah, it's bad. Michael makes fun of me constantly.
I hope I didn't steer you wrong because I don't mind spice, so.
Like, he'll make buffalo chicken and he'll be like, I made it, like, extra, like, it's not that much hot sauce, like, at all. And I'll eat it and I'll be like, this is spicy. And I'll be like, oh my God, you baby.
Oh, that's my mom.
My kids will complain that something is spicy and then continue eating it. So I feel like they're like, oh, this sausage is way too spicy. Can I have more? I'm like, yes.
I see what you mean, Linda. It's kind of like the cinnamon whiskey in the sense that it kicks in afterwards, but it's subtle. Yes. And it's more of like it's very different than the hot of the hot cinnamon whiskey. It's like a completely different.
It's just something in the back of your throat, basically.
Very back of your throat. It's like almost like a smoky.
The classic Mexican hot chocolate, and this is the one like my mom made Mexican hot chocolate cookies all the time. It's with chili and sometimes also with like a little cumin also. So the idea is not that it's supposed to be like sharp spicy, but that it's warm. It's like this warm kind of under.
I think that this cookie does a very good job of replicating that.
I think so too.
And I would give it this, I would give it the same rating as Linda. You gave it like what, like an 8 or 7?
Yeah. Yeah, because the chocolate is very good.
And the chocolate's super rich in this.
Yeah, the chocolate's excellent.
This is a richer chocolate cookie base than the s'mores cookie base is.
Really?
Yes.
I also have a s'mores cookie for another day. It is very beautiful. Look at that huge streak under there.
Yep. I still have half of mine that Michael's going to get to eat. But yeah, it's the good stuff. But yeah, I'd say that this cookie, I mean, they're probably like at their core the same chocolate cookie recipe because like, you know, it's the same company, but like they add, like it's fudgier, I guess is what I'll say.
Okay.
This cookie.
It was very fudgy, I will.
Yeah, the Mexican hot chocolate cookie is much fudgier than the s'mores cookie, but I think that's like appropriate for the flavors it's trying to convey. You need that fudginess to like balance out the slight spice that's there. But it's definitely, even for this, like, big time baby who, like, can't take anything spice, this is not too much at all. It's very subtle. It's I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's an excellent cookie.
I'm the same color with spice, so I need it mild or really none at all. I have a very bland.
I worked in an Indian restaurant for a year.
Not for Italian, I feel like, to not like spice, but yeah, I don't like spice.
This was the surprise one in the group for me, this cookie, of all the cookies I ate. Like, the s'mores I expected to like, and I liked it. The cinnamon whiskey I expected to be meh on, and I was meh on it. This one I expected to be meh, and I liked it a lot more than I thought.
So, okay, that's good. Kind of
got three different types.
That's a good sign.
That is a good sign.
That recommends it in a different way.
Yeah. This
meh.
One exceeded my expectations, whereas the other two met them, but in different ways. The s'mores met my high expectations. Cinnamon whiskey met my low expectations. This one exceeded my low expectations.
So overall, Insomnia Cookies is getting like a B on their report card.
I would say so. Yeah.
I'm not going to have the last cookie because, oh my God, those first two are very, I didn't realize how rich they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very rich. Yeah. They're very
rich. That's a lot of cookie.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this hot chocolate one, even though I like it a lot, but we'll see. I'm going to try.
I'll like it tomorrow is the thing that I figure. Like,
that's true.
Absolutely. The half of my, salted caramel cookie. You know what that is? That's breakfast.
Yeah.
Why not?
Heck yeah.
You can't show me any meaningful difference between this and a muffin.
No. It's true.
Nope. Kellyanne, where'd you go?
Yeah, I was gonna say we lost one.
Do we have more questions? No, she's still here. She's just
Do we?
I don't know. No, I don't think we do right now.
No.
Okay.
I was just going to check one more time to see if we have questions before moving on to kind of our, like, other announcement we have for this live pod, our other topic before we get to walk off wins.
I have a little live update, which is that things are going surprisingly in Georgia.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
Oh,
I had it on before.
I didn't see that coming either.
I just got a pop up, and that's all.
It's a good pop up.
I'm not gonna read it closely. I'm not gonna overthink things.
Right. Because I had it on before we started. I had CNN on, and I think Michael's still watching CNN in the other room. But I had it on before we started, and like early was looking good. But I was kind of like, you know, of course, because they're counting the early votes first. Like I can't get like, you know, too optimistic. So I was like tempering my feelings, but good. That's good news.
Anyway, that's good.
Anyway, yes. Slight diversion. So then other than, so we're on surprise 3 of 3. So we had 3 surprises lined up for you. The first surprise was Maggie's return. The second surprise is that we did more cookies. And the third surprise is that we are doing a mini Dollars for Dingers, I guess you could call it. We are doing I'm getting texts. Am I going to do more live stuff? Am I doing more live breaking news? Because Michael's texting me from the other room. Oh, it is the same.
Should we be making any other announcements?
It is the same alert. No, it's the same alert. Michael's just texting me the same alert that you received, Maggie. So it's okay. It's the same live. It's good things in Georgia. We'll just put it this way. Our third surprise is that we are doing a mini Dollars for Dingers of sorts, although we are not counting home runs, but we decided in the wake of Hall of Fame balloting and everything that all the discourse that has come along with that, we are going to do another sort of pop-up fundraising effort for the Domestic Violence Hotline, which is the same charity we did before. But we also say that if you have a local shelter or a women's shelter or domestic violence charity that is local to your area, whether it be New York or elsewhere, feel free to donate there as well. Anybody who donates to the National Domestic Violence Hotline or any of their local domestic violence organizations, send us either via our social medias. You can DM us on Twitter. You can email us aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. Obviously, I put all this info in the show notes, so you don't have to memorize it, and in the tweets. But if you send us some sort of evidence, it doesn't have to be anything intense, just like a screenshot of the, like, you donated confirmation email or page that pops up after you complete your donation, you will be entered into a drawing, which we will do when pitchers and catchers report in late February. We will then do another drawing similar to what we did for Dollars for Dingers, where we'll draw winners. And I have prizes lined up for you guys for that. We have framed, I actually forgot to take my inventory I said I was going to take, but we have several framed, like, Mets memorabilia type of things that we have taken from Michael's mother's house from his childhood. So we have, like, one of them is definitely Pedro Martinez, I recall, like a framed Pedro Martinez from his, like, first game as a Met, I think. But, you know, the type of memorabilia you hang on your wall that's framed that commemorates certain Mets moments or players. We have, like, five such things that we will raffle off for you guys, for anybody who donates. So that is our big announcement. Say, like,
last time y'all were so amazing with the donations that the National Domestic Violence Hotline actually reached out to us, like, unprompted to, like, thank us and you guys for all of the donations that they had gotten in, like, thousands of dollars worth that were tagged with A Pot of Their Own or Dollars for Dingers. And let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
That was really awesome.
Yeah, guys, they were so grateful. You guys, like, you guys really killed it last time you did this. And we really feel like it's important to emphasize where this podcast stands on this stuff, given everything that's happening with the Hall of Fame balloting and the fact that it's very obvious that the establishment in baseball and the people that control the history of the game that we love still very much do not see these issues as important. And that's been made abundantly clear. I mean, even today we had, like, Ken Rosenthal, who was kind of, like, he almost did the best case scenario, which was still bad, because he wrote a column, which I can link for you guys to read, because I think it's important to read it, even though I don't think what he said is very good. But he essentially said that he, like, grappled with this, and he felt really bad about it, but then he went ahead and voted for these guys anyway, which is kind of just like, okay, you want a pat on the back for, like, feeling bad about doing it, but then your actions don't actually reflect what...
And he also then made it about himself too. Yeah. Like, pity me. This was really hard for me to do.
One of them, I can't vote for any of them. It's like, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the bottom line.
Like, grapple with it. If you're grappling with it, then there's your answer right there. Don't vote for that.
Like, grapple. I'm not gonna grapple anymore.
And he said that, like, he kind of said, like, this might be my last time voting for the Hall of Fame because of all this, like, makes me feel icky, more or less. Which is, like, on one hand, sure, but on the other hand, you, instead of sitting with your discomfort and processing that and taking a stand and figuring out what to do, you are instead walking away. Like, you are like, oh, I don't like how I'm feeling, so I'm just, instead of actually, like, dealing with this, I'm gonna walk away. And that's a sign of privilege. That is absolutely a sign of privilege to, instead of sit with your discomfort, the fact that you can just, like, turn it off. That is a sign of somebody who is not affected by this. Mm-hmm. So we want to emphasize on this podcast that we care about these issues, and we think they're important and they should be considered in Hall of Fame balloting, among other things. Accolades for their own franchise, for example, and not ruining David Wright's last game.
There's also a morals clause. Like, it's, they have a very legitimate reason not to vote somebody in. And it's like, really, Omar Vizquel was the hill you want to die on? He wasn't that good.
And, like, and nobody, and the thing about, like, and there's been a lot of talk about how, like, you know, steroids are prioritized as, like, that affects on-field stuff versus off-field stuff is not as important. But people forget Barry Bonds has also been accused of abuse, and no one talks about that. Everyone talks about his steroid use. No one talks about the fact that he was also an abuser. So,
and they're keeping him out because of the steroids.
And nobody's talking about his abuse because everybody talks about his steroid use and will that or will that not. And the same thing with Clemens. Everyone talks about his steroid use. No one talks about his conduct with underage girls. Like, And the fact of the matter is that these are things that, I mean, things have changed a little bit in the sense that at least when someone is accused of something now, people talk about it online, even if there aren't actual consequences. It's at least talked about and people are aware of it. Whereas a lot of these things with like Bonds and Clemens happened a long time ago where baseball writers didn't even bother writing about this stuff at all because they didn't think it was important because it wasn't stuff that happened on the field. But people should be aware of it.
They're aware of it, but they're still kind of more being forced to write about it rather than doing it of their own free will, I feel like.
No, they are dragged into the conversation, kicking
against their will.
I guess we will just keep dragging them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another sense that I got from the Ken Rosenthal column was kind of like, you're not grappling with this out of your own volition. You are reacting to public blowback. If it wasn't for that, you wouldn't feel any of this discomfort you're feeling. It's forced discomfort because people are talking about it, which is what we have to keep doing because that is the only way anybody will even admit that they're uncomfortable or say anything, is that we have to force the issue and make them uncomfortable because their first instinct, as Ken Rosenthal's was, is always going to be to run away from these conversations rather than face them.
Especially when we want women to break into baseball, when there are so many women that are baseball fans. Just don't alienate your fans, especially when people, I disagree with the sentiment, but people say baseball is dying and all of that. You want as many fans as you can get. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's kind of like, it just screams, the voice of that piece and like other takes like it that I've seen online of people doing this Hall of Fame balloting, it's like, this screams of someone who's never had to think about this stuff before. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, female fans have had to deal with this for years, for their entire fandom. Like, I had to deal with watching Jose Reyes on the goddamn Mets every day. How do you think that made me feel every day? Every day.
Didn't like it.
Nope.
You're feeling this.
Not even micro.
You're feeling this for a temporary period. Yeah. We have felt this for our entire fandom, for these dudes' entire careers.
And they're getting publicity at it. Like, he was like, I'm going to go on MLB Network and just explain my ballot. Like, so he got, like, more airtime out of it. He probably got more clicks out of it. What do we get out of it? Like, we're the ones dealing with it every day and
screaming into the void. We're going to convert that into donations, into something actually tangible and useful, instead of just being like, I feel icky.
If you'd like to pace yourself on your donations, you can donate $1 for every time you scream into the void.
Yes.
That's one way to do it.
I've donated $2 since we just started having this conversation.
Yep. But even on like a macro level, just beyond baseball, this is helping women who are victims of abuse during a time when domestic partner violence is at a higher rate because of the COVID pandemic. And it's offering a lot of resources that when these charities and services might be struggling a little bit more because of the pandemic. So every dollar helps.
And this is a national problem right now. Domestic violence is an acute problem right now when everyone's trapped inside and women are trapped in abusive relationships that they literally cannot leave because of the pandemic in many cases. I mean, obviously that was a problem before, but it is exacerbated an existing problem. So these charities need our help a lot. So let's do it.
You know, bringing up the conversation too, especially if you're not a woman and aren't totally aware of these kinds of situations. So all hands on deck.
Yes. All hands on deck indeed. So yeah. And I'm making I said this last night or the other night. I was like, ooh, do I want to do this? But I'm gonna be bold. Screw it. So I challenge all of you to make donations because I will match our sum total. I will match our sum total of donations. So if 10 of you donate $10, I will donate $100. If 20 of you donate $10, I will donate $200. So make me broke. Do it, guys. Make me broke. I will match our sum total. I might regret this later, but the National Domestic Violence Hotline sure won't.
No.
So I will match our sum total, whatever that is. So yeah, you like Maggie said, you can make it in small doses whenever you're feeling extra rage. You can just like throw a couple bucks in the pot, or you can do one big donation, and in whatever amount. It doesn't matter what the amount is. You will all be counted equally. All be entered equally. One donation equals one ticket in the raffle. So everyone who donates in any amount, any number of times, gets one ticket. So whatever you can spare, every penny counts. It doesn't have to be some sort of big thing. If that's not in the cards for you right now, which it isn't for a lot of people, we understand that this is a really hard time for a lot of people. A lot of people are out of work. A lot of people are struggling. It doesn't have to be much. If that's not in the cards for you right now, we totally understand. But if you have some money to spare, please, this is really important to us. And we are so appreciative of this community. You guys stepped up so big last time. And I think we can make this fun. So any time between now and when pitchers and catchers report is the time period for this. And we will obviously remind you periodically on shows that we record between now and then and on our social media channels. We will send out reminders because it's a long time, but we think that, the longer we give people, the more donations we'll get. So between now and spring training, that is the charge that we are charging to you. So yeah, let's do it. But in the meantime, we have to wrap up this show. We have, like we do every week, we will do live walk-off wins where each of us talks about what is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Maggie Wiggin, you already shared your walk-off win in Slack, and I'm very excited about it, so I want you to share it.
So a lot of people getting vaccinated these days, and the most recent of her Twitter was Hank Aaron, who just got his vaccine and really wanted to do it publicly to make the case to his peers that it's safe to do so. And, I really love the acknowledgement of, the violence that Black Americans have experienced in medicine, and acknowledging like the very real scars that leaves in the ability to trust the medical establishment. And I love that Hank Aaron, who seems like a total mensch, is probably not going to die of COVID. So A+, like it works. And I also just kind of want to take this larger opportunity because I didn't listen to every single podcast during my absence. So I don't
That's
know
okay,
if
you get a pass.
Tackled this, but working in public health and having friends and colleagues who work in hospitals and friends and colleagues who have been doing, infectious disease epidemiology work for a long time. This vaccine is really amazing. And the way it all came together was really amazing. And so I'm kind of ratcheting up the walk-off win. My walk-off win is the vaccine and that people like Hank Aaron can make the statement that he made with it. Now, there's also the fact that they are fucking up the rest of it, but the science is there. A couple of my friends are actually hospital administrators who have been tasked with getting all of their employees vaccinated. And, one of my friends from grad school vaccinated 1,000 people yesterday. And that's just,
wow.
This is just great people doing great things.
Science!
So yes, that's my walk-off win. Thank you, Hank Aaron. Thank you, science.
Yeah, and to your point, Maggie, about the powerful statement that Hank Aaron is able to make, I'm actually having Michael read The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks right now, because that's one of my favorite books, of all time. I was thinking a lot about that lately when I've been thinking about the vaccine and uptake and what we can do to, make sure that the communities that need this vaccine get this vaccine, and thinking about past injuries that the medical establishment has done to these communities of color. And Henrietta Lacks is an excellent example of that, which took place at Johns Hopkins, the place I went to grad school and got my scientific degree. So I'm not that is not lost on me, you know, but it is still an amazing achievement of, like, science and innovation of humanity to get this vaccine done with an entirely new technology that is now going to be the gold standard for vaccines moving forward. It's pretty amazing. So let's see. Kellyanne Healy, what is your walk-off win?
That it's 2021. I'll keep it simple. It's not 2020 anymore.
That's fair enough.
That's fair. Yeah.
I won't lie, this year has not started off the greatest for me, but there's still, like, light at the end of the tunnel. And it's not 2020 anymore. Oh my God, 2020 was just, like, COVID aside, it was just a bad year for me personally too. Ugh.
Yeah.
So that's my simple, very simple walk-off win. It's 2021. Time moves forward and hopefully, and no, not hopefully, and brings a lot of hope with it.
Yeah.
Keeping it simple.
Good sentiments. Yes. I agree. Linda Servich, what is your walk-off win?
My walk-off win, I kind of shared a little bit on Twitter, but I don't think, yeah, our last one was before Christmas, but it was. We had kids write letters to Santa at work. So I got to read all the kids' letters to Santa. And after such an awful year, just like, kids are so sweet and so thoughtful. Like, they wrote thank you notes for my presents last year to Santa. This other kid said he wanted a kitchen set, but if another kid needed a kitchen set to give it to that kid. And then he said, Santa, please try.
You're just the best.
And, like, another kid drew a picture of baby Yoda, and, like, they were just so sweet. And it was just, and I'm sitting there, like, crying at the desk, like, reading these. And, like, one kid, which I had a laugh, like, we put out, like, you know, like, pre-made kind of things, and you could check off naughty or nice. And another kid drew her own box and put both.
An accurate self-assessment, I think. I think that's
very accurate.
All of us are a little naughty and a little nice.
Yeah. And then another kid said, like, you know, please help other needy kids. And then, like, and then a lot of them were saying, I hope you're well. I hope the elves are okay. I hope, you know, the Mrs. Claus is okay. And
we told the kids that Santa got vaccinated.
Yeah. So I was like, Santa's okay, he's coming. So that, and then just, you know, I got to see my niece and nephew on Christmas Eve, and them opening their presents. And, you know, it's easy to forget, you know, it's been an awful year, but to see that excitement and to be reminded that that's, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but that's what Christmas is all about.
No, it's not.
And, you know,
it's just last in 2020, we're just have been so resilient and adaptable to this. And it's so stunning to see how they've handled this, and they've handled this better than, in my opinion, a lot of adults have.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, just to see that many of them have not lost optimism and their cheerfulness. Great.
Yeah, like, one kid asked for the Super Bowl trophy. I was like, I didn't know this was an option, Santa. I would like the World Series trophy. I would
yes,
like
please.
The Stanley Cup.
Please, Santa.
I think I've been really good, Santa, please. So, like, next year I'm asking Santa. Oh, it's like, hopefully I won't need to ask Santa for the World Series trophy next year. But, you know, hopefully some Mets fan put that on his wish list this year. So, you know, it was just a nice way to close out the year after, you know, a really, really hard year, because, you know, kids, you know, that innocence, you just wish you could just bottle it and not have it ever go away, because here we are all jaded.
we're just, like, tired and stressed and just
stressed. So yeah, the kids of the world and anybody who wrote a letter to Santa, you're my walk-off win.
So before I do my walk-off win, I'm once again being texted from the other room, and this isn't quite, like, breaking news on the pod. I wouldn't say this is, like, a like, oh my god, something happened, but it's like a small news nugget that will break live on the pod. So Mike Puma of The Post wrote a piece. Embedded within it is this sentence. As it stands, Team Brass is optimistic that Springer will be wearing a Mets uniform by the time spring training begins, according to an industry source. So, like, obviously it's not, like I said, I used this sentence last time on the pod, and I'll continue to phrase it this way. They're not using the buzzwords that they tend to use when the signings are close, like intensifying, or like aggressive, or like talks are, you know, ramping up. They're not like using that sort of language, but there's continuing to be reports that like all the industry insiders seem to think that the Mets are the leaders in the Springer sweepstakes. Make of that what you will, Mets fan community.
I mean, when was the last time the Mets were even the leading candidates to sign a really good player?
I was going to say, really? The leading candidate to sign Porcello? Now that's a different story.
I mean, when they re-signed Cespedes, that was signing a really good player, but I don't think that counts because, like, it's re-signing a player who's already on your team, and that kind of gives you, like, an initial leg up to begin with.
But I think the whole thing was that he kind of waived that part of his contract that said he couldn't sign with the Mets after that 2015 season. So that was like, that opened the Mets up for an opportunity there that they necessarily didn't have at the beginning of the offseason that year.
I think if Springer does ultimately sign with the Mets, I think it will be the most exciting free agent acquisition that they've gotten, like Cespedes aside, like re-signing players aside, since Granderson.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I think Granderson is the last time I felt like really super pumped about, as opposed to just like, yeah, that's a good signing, or like, that's fine, or I don't like this. But like, the best I did before that was like, this is fine.
Yeah.
And while Granderson is low key, as has been established on this pod before, one of my faves, Springer is a more impactful player.
I was going to say, he's a high impact.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I don't think George Springer or anyone could win my heart the way Granny Man did. He's just like the best. Come home, Curtis. We love you. But like on field, that's a bigger mark that he's going to leave.
I think the last time the Mets signed like a free agent of this level of impact is probably Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't.
And they traded for him first, didn't they? No.
No.
No, they traded him away. That's what I'm thinking.
Like,
well, and Santana was a trade and extend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they've had good players. You know, also trade and then resign. But like, in terms of like just pure free agent money talks, bringing in the big guy, like, I think you're right that Beltran was the last one.
I mean, Jason Bay was supposed to be that, but he was not that ultimately. But like at the time, you kind of thought he might be that.
Yeah.
But yeah, ultimately, obviously, in order for Springer signing to equate itself to a Beltran signing in the end, he has to pan out to be that player. But yeah,
I don't think that Springer is going to be like one of the best Mets to ever be on the uniform.
No,
but there's a lot of good real estate between that and Jason Bay.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, point being, like, I don't think I'm not expecting him to be as good as Carlos Beltran. Carlos Beltran is one of the top 10 center fielders to ever play the game. But it's, as far as impact, there hasn't been that big of a signing since Beltran.
Yeah.
There seems to be continued optimism surrounding the Mets and Springer, which is good. Hopefully it stays that way and results in a signing someday. So I guess we'll come to my walk-off win, which feels very anticlimactic compared to the rest of yours. I feel like the rest of yours were all like these big, like sweeping, heartwarming, and mine is just like, my furniture I ordered in October is finally coming.
No, that's a big thing. That is a big thing. I can sympathize with that.
That just happened to me today, so it wasn't originally giving me my walk-off win, but I was like, you know what? This is making me really happy right now.
Get a box of Insomnia cookies and give them to the delivery men and see what happens.
True. I should get Insomnia cookies for the delivery men when they come, because that can only portend good things.
Mm-hmm. Without the delivery men, like Insomnia cookies.
But yeah, so January 23rd is my scheduled delivery date for my furniture I ordered on October 16th. COVID has done a number on all of this. I mean, this furniture place is kind of fancy to begin with. And so like they already take like a relatively long time. I knew that because the pieces are like made to order. But COVID made it even worse, and so I just kept getting emails every once periodically like, your order's been delayed again, your order's been delayed, and I'm like, yeah. But I'm very excited about it, because like, not only, so it's a dining room table and chairs, and then like a nice bookshelf, because right now our bookshelf situation is horrid, as I think you guys can attest to, because I think I've shown you guys pictures of it. But it's like, basically it's like wire shelving that is serving as a makeshift bookshelf right now, because we don't have a real bookshelf, because both Michael and I had bookshelves at our previous places, but they were both like crappy ones that like we didn't even think would survive the move. So we were like, we're gonna get a real bookshelf when we move in, and so we had to do a makeshift thing in the meantime. But it's gonna be a really nice bookshelf, an open back like cherry bookshelf. Oh, I'm so excited. And then actually it's maple, I think. Maple, that's right. And then the I'm extra psyched about it, because like, it's not just a dining room table and chairs, it's also my work from home setup. So like the chair I'm going to, that's essentially also going to be my desk chair, like sitting in at doing my work every day, is also going to be new. Because the room I'm sitting in right now is our office, but this is actually where Michael works during the day, because he needs the more privacy, because he's actually actively teaching school, whereas I am just doing a desk job that sometimes has meetings. So I work in at the dining room table in the living room, dining room area, and he works in here. And so, yeah, I'm very excited that not only am I getting a new dining room table, I'm also getting simultaneously a new desk. So I'm very excited about that. That's my very lame walk-off win in comparison to you guys, but
no, that's good too.
Furniture is awesome.
It is.
And it's like, you know, I feel like to make it more grandiose than it is, it's like an adulthood step, right? Because like, this is the first time I've purchased like not IKEA furniture, or like IKEA level. Not all my furniture was from IKEA itself, but it's like, this is like the level up. Like, it is nice, expensive furniture that I spent a lot of money on. And so I'm like, oh, it's gonna be so nice when it comes. And I'm like, I feel like an adult that has like real adult furniture in my adult apartment that I live in and pay all my bills. Yeah.
That was like when I got my bedroom furniture. I'm like, it's my first adult bed. It's like, I'm like a grown-up now. So it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it totally does. It totally does. Because like, I had gotten like, you know, a lot of furniture when I like lived in Baltimore, but then, you know, oh my god, I'm getting texted from the other room again.
Michael!
Ooh.
What?
Oh, what? There was another, there's been another Georgia call.
Oh.
A good one.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's...
A call?
A call from one source in particular that is... A Wasserman.
Yeah.
Wasserman called it the other race, called the other race as well. However, the tweet that Michael sent me is a screenshot of the Wasserman tweet that has the multiple sources may not have called the race, like, alert underneath it, like the Twitter little, like, this claim is disputed thing. Disputed. But, like, you know, he might be the first one to call it, so.
Wow. We won't.
I was expecting this to drag on into like tomorrow.
I also thought it was not going to be.
There's going to be a dogfight.
I didn't think that it was going to look this good at this point.
Yeah, because I thought we would have to wait on like the mail-ins and, you know, the absentees and
for real
that whole process again.
So yeah, so my walk-off win is furniture. But there are good things happening in Georgia, so that's a collective walk-off win. Hopefully things stay this way, but who knows, because these races are going to be close and there's no way we're going to get, like, final. Like, I don't think all the big outlets are going to call anything tonight, probably. But
it's definitely going to be disputed, so no matter who wins.
Yeah.
No, it's probably going to be a mess. Yeah. Nothing matters anymore.
Nothing matters.
No.
But you all should go to AmazingAvenue.com while you're waiting for these damn election results and read all of our Mets content. We're on top of all your free agency rumors. We've got our morning news posts every day. We've got you guys up to date on everything. So go to AmazingAvenue.com. You can follow Amazing Avenue on all the social medias. You guys already know you can follow it on Facebook because you are there right now. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Amazing Avenue. You can follow our show on Twitter, at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. You, Linda?
At Linda Surovich.
Maggie?
Maggie162.
You can find Kellyanne in the Amazing Avenue comments section and also on the A Pod of Their Own Twitter account. You can email the show aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. Contact us on our social media or by email about the fundraiser if you make a donation to send that our way, which I will put in the show notes as well and in the tweets. But yeah, follow us on Twitter, follow the show on Twitter. Please subscribe to Amazing Avenue Audio on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. Actually subscribing and leaving reviews really helps all of our collective pods, amazing as they all are, get noticed and, you know, rise up the SB Nation rankings, which are important to us. So please do that
only,
as well.
To us.
Yeah, exactly. Please.
But you like us. That's why you're here listening.
So. Exactly. Exactly. The intro and outro music to the podcast, which you are not hearing if you're watching this live, but you will hear when the audio version of this goes up tomorrow, is by Bunga, our fantastic podcast dad, who monitored the questions for us tonight. So thank you, Brian, podcast dad, A+ as always, 80 grade podcast dad. Peace out, Facebook. Let's go, Mets. And don't forget, there's no crying in podcasting. So we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.